2017 special meeting of the Pacifica National Board. It is 5:38 p.m. on the West Coast. Mr. Secretary, please take roll.
Okay. Grace Harris?
Here.
Okay. Alan is here. Jonathan Alexander?
Here.
Alexander is here. David Beaton? Not present. Jim Brown?
Here.
Brown is here. Adriana Kersenev?
Present.
Adriana is here. Bill Crozier?
Here.
Crozier is here. Catherine Davis?
Here.
Davis is here. Benito Diaz? Benito?
Present.
Okay. Diaz is here. Ronda Garner?
Present.
Garner is here. Sam Goodman? No, present. Sabrina Jacobs?
Here.
Jacob is here. Ken Lofer?
Here.
Lofer is here. Robert Mark? Not here yet. Serene Roberts? Serene?
Present.
Okay, Roberts is here. Mansour Sabah? No, present. T.M. Scruggs? Not here yet. Nancy Sullivan?
Here.
Okay, Sullivan is here. Alex Steinberg? Not present yet. Tanaka is here. Temba Shibanda? Temba is here. Andrea Turner?
Present.
Tanaka is here. Mascula, Washington?
Here.
Mascula is here. Okay. So we have 16 people at the moment, so good call. Go ahead. Jonathan? Okay. So, in view of Jonathan, particular timekeeper, I can do the items since I put the timestamp. Anybody want to do people? Person? Any volunteers?
Okay, I'll do my best to be people.
Okay, all right. Very good.
All right, so the first thing on the agenda is approval of the minutes from our last meeting. Is that correct?
No, agenda approval.
Okay, agenda approval. All right, so anyone object to the approval of the agenda for today's meeting?
Sorry, my phone was unmuted.
Okay, go ahead, John. We're on agenda approval.
I know, we need to do excused absences. I got an excused absence request from Dave Beaton. And then he texted me and said he would be here in a couple of minutes.
Okay.
So are there any objections? I'm sorry, were there any other excused absences? Okay. Are there any objections to Dave Beaton's excused absence? His reason was that he had a show and he will be on the executive session. Are there any objections? Hearing none. Okay, now we'll move on to agenda approval, item number two. We have 2 minutes for that item. Yes, who's that?
Sorry, can you hear me? Robert.
Yes. Yes, Ms. Roberts.
Okay, so I wish to give notice with regard to the improper removal of Rafia Longaza and Sharon Brown and the improper replacement or attempt to replace them with the presence of David Beaton and Mansour Sabah. Also, I understand that in court this afternoon, Director Sharon Brown, as a result of a temporary restraining order, Director Sharon Brown was ordered reseated on the Pacifica National Board. So I'm not sure that Mr. Sabah should be showing up on this call at all. So okay. I'd like to give notice with regard to that.
All right.
My question is with regard to, sorry?
Go ahead.
Okay, so my notice is with regard to the improper removal and the improper replacement. And my question is, why would Mr. Sabah be showing up on the call tonight?
I have not received any notice or word about that particular court trial. Your other objections, as usual, I ask the secretary to note them in the minutes. And if in that event that is a court order, when the officers of the board have that information, we'll act upon it and make the switch if deemed necessary. But again, I'm going to ask the secretary to make note in the minutes of everything that Ms. Roberts said of all of her objections.
Okay, will do.
Okay.
I'm here for a sec.
Is that closure?
It's my understanding that the what happened in court today in California was another tentative ruling, and there's been no order. I haven't even seen one yet either. I know there probably won't be while it's still tentative.
Okay. If you have any information from that, an email to the board, please send it to us.
What's the last you said?
I'm sorry, did you say repeat that? Ms. Roberts?
I said Persia's phone. The sound was distorted. I did not hear his last sentence.
Could you repeat that for her, please, Bill?
Okay. I'm not sure what the last sentence was, but it was my understanding that this was a preliminary judgment from the judge, and there's no court order, at least not yet. And I have not seen anything in writing.
Okay. Thank you very much. And again, if currently between now and the next meeting, if anyone receives anything in writing pertaining to this, please forward it to the TNB. Are there any corrections or additions or objections to the agenda as is? Ms. Roberts? And there was someone else as well?
Yeah, Benita.
I'm sorry. Okay, Serene, then Benita. Go ahead, Ms. Roberts. I'm sorry.
So this meeting is due to... Can you guys understand? 1 second. Okay, there we go. This meeting is due to end at 9. Thanks. This meeting is due to end at 9:15. The notice for the closed session was 9:15 p.m., not 9:30. The secretary did not bother to consult with the people who called the special meeting, which is rather interesting. But anyway, it is on the calendar for 9:15 going into closed session. So I would propose that we table the minutes approval and the IED report and begin with Mr. Hand as soon as possible, so we do have a good amount of time with him.
Okay, and but that's a suggested change to the agenda. So I need a second.
I'm sorry, I thought we were on agenda approval, no?
I'm sorry? Yes, we're on agenda
approval. Did you actually move the agenda? Okay, right, but did somebody actually move it, or did you just say agenda approval?
I announced the point where we are on the agenda, and that's agenda approval.
But someone has to make a motion.
But do I hear a motion to approve the agenda? What I did ask for were there any objections to the agenda?
Right, but okay.
I move to approve the agenda.
Wow.
Oh, sorry. Was that too loud? Sorry. Was that too loud? Oh, gosh.
Grace, may I be recognized?
Just a moment. We're getting overlapped here. It's been moved, but this seems like just a simple thing. If no one objects, we would be on to that item if nobody objects. But we could just... it's been moved, so I would suggest that we vote on whether or not on Ms. Roberts' motion to basically table everything and move to Mr. Hand's Q&A, because I imagine his time is limited and We would need to get to him at a time certain. That's why we set one. Are there any objections to that?
I object.
Who objects, Aki?
This is Aki, yeah.
Okay. What's your objection?
Well, Mark is going to come along at 6 o'clock, so she had 12 minutes.
Okay. Well, are there any other objections or corrections to the agenda?
This is Grace. I have a request for information.
Ms. Aaron?
First of all, is Mr. Hand on the call currently? And if not, can he be called and asked to come on a little early?
I don't know.
He's going to be coming early. I can do that. This is Nancy. I'm sorry. This is Nancy. I can give information.
Okay. Go ahead.
He's going to call in at 9, and I can ask him to call in. I can email him and ask him to call in sooner. I don't know if he'll be available, but knowing the way we go, well, 9 o'clock will be about right. But if we're ready for him before 9, I'll ask him to call in. Or do you want me to ask him to call in right now?
Well, the point we're at now is we did have an objection to Ms. Roberts' amendment to the agenda. We would need to vote on that and then vote on the agenda as amended or as not amended. Yes, ma'am.
Point of information. Okay, so Chair, point of information.
I can't understand. Who was that?
Ms. Sabrina, sorry.
Okay, yeah, I'm having a real hard time hearing everyone, so it's going to be extra important that people state your voice.
Yeah, I thought you had. I'm sorry. I thought you had.
Everybody really does sound just alike right now.
Oh.
But
sorry, did I misunderstand you?
No.
Okay.
It's really hard to, believe it or not, to distinguish Sabrina from Serene on the phone I'm on right now. It's very difficult. But I heard Serene is going to finish up what she's saying, and then Sabrina has a question.
In the alternative, on the... What?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Rather than, just totally changing his plans right now, since someone gave him an appointment of 6 o'clock, without paying attention to the 9 o'clock. God, I'm talking like you Cali people. 9 o'clock. I would propose that instead we see if there's an objection to extending the open session and beginning this closed session later, rather than, asking him to turn everything upside down and get on the phone. He might be driving. Who knows?
But no, he said, I think you... He's set to be on the call in 8.5 minutes, correct?
It doesn't mean that he's not driving. So I'm saying, since we would like to have at least 30 minutes with him, I presume that was the intention when this agenda was created. We should push back, unless there's an objection, push back the start time of the executive session so that we will have that 30 minutes.
I would
second that.
Okay, we could do that, but does that change the time certain that he starts?
No, we'll begin at 9, and we'll have 30 minutes, and we'll end this at 9:30.
Okay, I'm not sure why that requires any change at this point, but are there any objections to that?
Because the closed session is noticed for 9:15. But the open session is noticed to end at 9:30,
I'm sorry. I see now. Because I only have the open session agenda open. So that only requires a changing of the closed session time, right? But are there any objections to that? And it sounded like...
So we would change... Nancy, I have a question. We would change the... starting of the closed session to 9:15 instead of 9:30?
No, to 9:30 instead of the calendar time of 9:15.
I actually would like Mr. Hand to be able to bridge both the open and the closed session, because We may have some questions that we want to ask him that should only be asked in closed sessions. So I would like him to be able to be in both sessions. So if we start the closed session earlier, because at 9:15, as we originally noticed, that would give us time to ask him questions in closed session that need to be asked in closed session and still get to the other business of the closed session.
I actually thought that was going to be a closed session agenda.
Jonathan?
Yes?
Agenda approval is over 10 minutes.
Okay. So we just need to go to a vote, but it sounds like we're kind of in agreement here that we all want to listen to Mark Hand starting in 6.5 minutes. 5.5 minutes, sorry. And we want him to go for 30 minutes, and we all want him to be in both sessions. You think all of this agreement would make things easier? I'm sorry, who is that?
Robert.
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. So I wanted to raise one more issue for the on the agenda, and I'm wondering if we can extend by 2 minutes for that purpose.
Are there objections?
Extend agenda approval.
Extending 2 minutes for agenda approval. Hearing none. Go ahead, Ms. Roberts.
Okay, thanks. So I would like to propose that three members of the WBI LSB, if they're available, join us in closed session. But I can't raise the issue in closed session because them joining the call is not a closed session issue. So my proposal is that because we know there's boards are overflowing with talk about what might be happening with WBAI and the flurry of emails, et cetera. So I'm proposing that John Kane, John Riley, and Jim Dingman, or Eve Moser, and I've emailed them, be invited to join the PMB in closed session this evening.
Do I have a second?
Benito.
Okay, I'm hearing a second. Well, hopefully, we'll just see. Are there any objections to what Ms. Roberts has proposed? Excellent. Hearing no objections.
Why are we going to need extra people? We seem to have trouble already getting through meetings with the number of people we have. I don't understand why we need to be. And why are we having people from one station added?
Okay, since there's been an objection,
we already have PMB members from this station.
Have to be voted on after agenda approval.
I didn't hear anybody recognize, so I don't even know who's speaking. It's just it's really loud. That's all I can tell. It's very distorted on my end.
Yeah, it's very distorted. It sounds like Bill.
Yeah, there are a lot of phone problems tonight. I hope we'll get through them. But that
would you
like
me to repeat the disclosure?
That was Bill, and he's recognized. Please repeat.
Okay, I'll try not to talk too loud. I'm not sure why we're suggesting we add additional people from just one station. We already have representatives from each station anyway on the PMB, and we have so much trouble getting through our meetings with the number of people we have already that it would be even more difficult with more people. I don't understand why these specific
your
people
would
need to be added.
But to expedite things, it'll be too late for Mark Hand to come on the phone.
And a way to
expedite all of this. Yes, you can, or we could just go to a vote on it and maybe get it done, but that's fine.
I'd like to get a sentence or two. I think anyone who's been reading the various Pacifica listeners know that the issue of a signal swap for WBAI is being discussed by all kinds of people. There are probably about 300 email out there on the subject, and while I actually think that it would have been good had the IED responded to the letters, two letters actually coming from our board earlier in the month, I think it would be good to get additional voices in addition to the four people who are on the board, but to get some input. And these three represent the three different crews, posses, groups, whatever, that comprise the WBILSB. So in that sense, it's actually very, it's a very broad approach to getting input. They may agree with each other, they may not, but it would be an opportunity for WBI to
hear. We're time on your 2-minute extension. But your point is taken, and so either way, what we'll have to do now is we will vote on agenda approval, then we'll vote on your motion, and then it'll be 6 o'clock, and it'll be time for Mark Ann to come on. So, Mr. Secretary, the first vote was on a movement on the agenda. Hardly matters.
Is there any objection?
And all of the changes are going to come to pass. Are there any objections to approving this agenda? And just to be clear, if this agenda is approved, it would now be time for item number 6 on the agenda, the Q&A with Mark Hand. We would be right on time. So are there any objections to approving this agenda? Hearing none. Ms. Sorden? Nancy, are you there?
I'm here.
It's about a few seconds to 6 o'clock on the West Coast. Do you have Mr. Hand available?
Well, he was given the number to call in, so, I can start introducing him. How's that? Well, there it is, 9 o'clock.
Wait. Jonathan, are we going to vote on the WBI addition issue?
Yes, we are.
I mean, it's not...
Because there was an objection.
I don't want to call them at 9:30.
Okay, well, let's do that first.
But you're right, so, Mr. Secretary, take the vote real quickly, and we'll still be on schedule.
Okay, so, Grace Allen, adding the
no.
two people in WBA.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can people vote on, please?
Nancy, I have a request for information. What are we voting on, please?
We're voting on the addition of the named WBAI LSB members and former members that Ms. Roberts, she also sent it out in an email, and that she suggested be on the line.
I'm sorry, that was not for closed session only?
Yes, it's for closed session. But we have to vote on it.
And we're voting on it in open session?
Right now.
Yes.
Whether to add them or not, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Got it.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Jim Brown? Jim Brown?
Yes.
Okay. Brown is yes. Adriana Castell?
Yes.
Castell is yes. Bill Closure?
No.
Closure is no. Catherine Davis?
Yes.
Davis is yes. Benito Diaz?
Yes.
What's that, Benito?
I said yes.
Okay. Diaz is yes. Wanda Garner? Wanda Garner? Thank you. Jan Goodman? Jan Goodman?
No, and by the way, I'm on the line now.
Okay. Good morning, sir. Sabrina Jacobs?
What are we voting on?
We're voting on adding three LSV members from WBA in the closed session.
Adding WBI LSV members in closed session?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can I pass for now, thanks?
Okay, you missed. Okay. Ken Balfour?
Pass.
Okay. Pass. Robert Moore?
Arner? Wanda Garner,
yeah.
And I vote no.
Okay. Wanda Garner, so okay. All right. Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Did you want to let me vote?
Robert Mark?
Yeah.
Oh, you came
on. I would note my presence at the meeting, which occurred immediately after you took roll, apparently. The email that y'all sent me was garbled, and I had to go back and find an old one. To get the
Robert.
Over.
Robert?
No.
You vote no? Okay. And TM Stoics? Okay. Not there. Nancy Sorden? Nancy?
Yeah.
Sorden is yes. Okay. Steinberg? Tanaka Pass. Temba? Shibamba?
Kemba?
Yes.
Shibande, yes. Andrea Turner?
Yes.
Andrea Turner, yes. Okay. Maskira? Maskira?
Yes.
Maskira is yes. We're going back to Jonathan Alexander?
No.
Alexander is no. All right. Then we get back to Sabrina Jacobs?
Oh, man. I'm going to have to say no.
Okay. Sabrina is no. And Ken Loffler?
I'll say yes.
Okay. Loffler is yes. All right. And Francois Sabat is not here. And TM Scruggs? TM Scruggs is not here. And I abstain. 2, 4, 6, 7. So it's 10 yes, 7 no, and 1 abstention. So the motion passes. All right. So hello to our guest. Somebody can introduce our guest, please.
Okay. Hi. And Ms. Roberts, you can send emails. And let the other people know that they'll be on the executive session. Okay, now we're
sorry,
on item number
I,
six.
Sorry, Jonathan, how are they getting on? You want me to just
I'll send them
gonna,
code. So
you'll send them
me
code?
Okay,
no problem.
Would you send me the email?
I'll do that.
Yeah. Okay.
I will do that.
All right. And then tell them they will be at, 1 hour, 30 minutes from now.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, people. Item number six is a question and answer with Mark Hand of Public Media Time, certain of only 5 minutes ago. Mr. Hand, if you're on the line with us, if you want to start. We have about 30 minutes set aside from you. Thank you very much for coming on the call with us this evening, and you may begin.
Okay, great. Yes, hello, everybody. It's Mark Hand, and I'm the CEO of Public Media Company. And Public Media Company is a national nonprofit that was started 16 years or so ago, and we've principally been involved with working with stations on financings and acquisitions and new project development and organizational work, sort of a whole range of things nationally with radio and TV stations all over the country. And one of the early projects that we did with funding from the Ford Foundation was to set up a revolving loan fund with funding from the Ford Foundation and Calvert Foundation and a few other foundations. And so we've had a lot of experience in looking at how to structure and put together loans. And so the initial contact that I'd had with you all, we've been talking about sort of the advantages of doing a bridge loan and some of the foundations that we work with provide and structure bridge loans. So in the conversations that I've had in two or three calls with a smaller group of some of the board members, my sense is just in looking at the situation and just, obviously what's mostly known publicly is given the ruling, and the judgment with the Empire State Real Estate Trust, that the most pressing need, obviously, for Pacifica is to look at how to address that issue, and that looking at some form of a bridge loan to do that, I think would be the best alternative for Pacifica. Because a bridge loan would pay that off, and it really then gives Pacifica time to explore any other options, all other considerations that you might want to explore. But right now it seems like the most pressing issue is that there could be a judgment that would allow them to seize assets, and that really takes control from Pacifica and really enables the Empire State Trust to determine what might happen and what assets they might seize. So I've had a few conversations with some of the board members, some different people about a bridge loan. And generally, the general structures that we have are up to 5 years and they're typically structured as interest-only loans, and sometimes we've been able to build in essentially a loan payment reserve, so possibly up to the first year in payments that are built into the loan, so that those would be built in, so Pacifica has the opportunity to pursue all the other things over that first year period. And the loans have no prepayment penalties. They're typically in the range of about 7 to 8% interest, and the cost of doing the loan is 1.5 points, so 1.5% of what the total loan is, and those costs are paid at closing. And I think, if that can be done, and I know that, Pacific has been looking at other loan considerations, so I think the key thing is to really determine exactly what the time frame is, what the sort of lead up risk for the Empire State Trust, what the time frame is for when they can do something, and knowing does Pacific have 30 days or 60 days or 2 weeks, and I think that time frame is really going to help determine. Typically, it takes us about 60 days to put together a loan, and so I think knowing that time frame is really going to help determine sort of what the best choice might be. But also in our experience, we have just finished another project that was similar to this with a community station in Salt Lake City, KCPW. And in that case, what we did is start communicating at the very beginning in the process with the bank lender that was merged to force a sale of the station. And us communicating with them, we were able to give them a good sense of what process we were going through. We got a term sheet from the lender and provided that to the bank and gave them a pretty good estimate of what the timing was. And I think in that case, it really helped to, essentially convince the bank that it made more sense to wait until we could put together a bridge loan than to take other legal steps to be able to force them into selling the station. So I think that's similar to the situation that Pacifica is in, and I think if you can look at the options and have that kind of communication, that taking these kind of steps would make the most sense in terms of at least hopefully convincing the Empire State Trust that it's worthwhile to wait for a while and while you all go through the bridge loan process. But I wanted to, I just wanted to give you a general overview and thought it might be best to stop for questions or any other comments or anything that I can help address.
Great. Again, thank you very much, Mr. Hand, for coming to us and bringing this information this evening. I'll go ahead and take a stack then of people who want to ask you questions.
Sure.
Who has questions for Mr. Hand?
Jim Brown.
Jim Brown?
Great for the stack.
Okay, Jim, Grace.
Jim.
Anyone else?
Bob Mark.
Was there someone just before Bob Mark? I have Bob Mark.
Jan was before me.
Jim?
Jan Goodman.
Jan, okay. Okay, so I have Jim Brown, Grace Aaron, Jan Goodman, and then Bob Mark. Okay, go ahead, Jim Brown.
Mark, could you explain to us exactly whether the station you got the loan from, was it a nonprofit or a commercial station?
Yes, it is a nonprofit station, and we only do work with, because we're a nonprofit, so we only do work with nonprofit stations. So, it ranges from some of the smallest. KCPW is a small community station, so, from small community stations to some of the larger public radio and TV stations. But all the work we do is just with nonprofit stations, and so that's the whole range of our experience really is with either community-based or, in some cases, institutionally-based community and public radio stations and TV stations.
I just have one follow-up. There's a you mentioned interest only loan, so some of us don't know whether it is. Can you explain what that really is?
Sure. Oh, yeah. So with the in the payments that you're making, the monthly payments, you would only be paying the interest due on the loan and not the interest in principal. So You know, for example, if you had a $100,000 loan and you were making the monthly interest payments on it and it was 7% interest, then that would, you know, be basically $583 a month would be your interest-only payment. So the entire principal of the loan isn't paid off until the ending term of the loan. And I think the idea of doing a bridge loan like this is to essentially take away the threat from the Empire State Trust and give Pacifica time and to really explore, you know, the full range of options that might make the most sense and be able to collect all the information so that you can really fully, you know, without the threat of something hanging over your head, fully evaluate and pursue those options and then, you know, use any of those options then to ultimately pay the loan off.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next on the stack is Grace Aaron.
Yes, thank you for being with us, Mr. Hand. My question is, can you please give us a summary of the typical time it takes for a signal swap to actually be realized? I think that's your
sure.
term. Okay, yes, thank you.
Sure. So a signal swap, they're obviously more complicated than a straight sale because essentially, you know, like in the case of say, either New York or San Francisco, where Pacifica has commercial channels, commercial frequencies, I'm assuming it would be working out a swap with a non-commercial station or selling one of those two stations and having the proceeds to then be able to buy a non-commercial station so that Pacifica could replace their coverage in either one of those markets with a hopefully close to the same coverage non-commercial station. So the process of going through that, you know, when you think of either one or two parties, you know, different players involved in that process, typically the identifying who the potential swap partner might be and what the parameters of that are and negotiating a deal, you know, that would typically take at least 60 days, you know, sometimes considerably longer. But if we wanted to look on the short end of that, at least 60 days. And then if you reach an agreement on the swap, then the first stage of that is a letter of intent that both parties sign. And then typically the letter of intent calls for anywhere from a 60 to somewhere up to 90-day due diligence period. So the, you know, all the parties have a chance to look at all the details of leases and equipment assets to be transferred and everything else. And during that period of time, you also draft an asset purchase agreement. So you're essentially negotiating the asset purchase agreement. At that time, if you, you know, reached an agreement, signed the asset purchase agreement, the agreement would be contingent on, because based on the Pacifica bylaws, it would be contingent on then a vote of the Pacifica membership. You know, before that could be filed with the FCC. And I think from what you all said, I think you anticipate that would be probably either somewhere between a 4 and 6 month process. I think that was about right in terms of estimate. So if you went through that, And then the final step in the process then would be filing an assignment application along with the asset purchase agreement with the FCC. And then that process takes typically about 90 days before final order, before you can close. So, you know, if you run through sort of all the components of that, it's likely 8 months to, you know, to some extent it could be up to 2 years to go through that whole process.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Okay, next we have Jan Goodman, Bob Mark, and Sabrina Jacobs. Jan Goodman, go ahead.
So my question is, you said that it normally takes you about 60 days to fund a loan. Is that correct?
Yes, and the variables there would be the first step in the process is collecting you know, just the basic financial information or, you know, obviously, given the sort of financial picture for Pacifica, this is most likely going to be a loan tied to assets. So I think the...
Point of order, Nancy Sheridan. Hold up a second, please.
There we go. So the early stage of the process is collecting all the information, and we collect all that, put it in we analyze all the information, then put it in a form that can then be taken to the potential lenders, and then they evaluate that, ask us for more information. So, you know, it's going to be, depending on how quickly we can get the information back and forth, it's probably going to be a 2 or 3 week process to get through that stage. And then if it looks, you know, like all the information is what the lender needs, then they provide a term sheet that outlines the overall parameters of the loan, and then that would be given to Pacifica. And so, you know, ideally we'd want to target getting that within the first 30 days. And then obviously Pacifica evaluates that and determines whether the overall terms of the term sheet are acceptable. And if they are, then the lender works to put together all the legal documents for the loans, and then there's back and forth on that. So that, you know, typically takes about 30 days to go through that and to be able to get to a closing. So those are all the main pieces. And again, the what could slow the process down is just if there's a slow exchange of information or any of those kind of things. And during that period of time, you know, again, reflecting our experience with the community station in Salt Lake City, you know, we'd certainly want to be through your attorney or directly, or, you know, whatever the best way to do that. We'd want to be communicating what we're doing and the steps in the process to the Empire State Real Estate Trust so that they know that there's active steps being taken to get a bridge loan to pay them off.
And typically, what, just to be clear, we're talking about trust deed on real property. Is that correct? A mortgage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because again, it's you know, it wouldn't be based on the you know, revenues and everything currently generated by Pacifica. So it would be tied to you know, a tangible asset. And you can't take a lien on licenses. So it you know, it would encompass sort of the overall assets of Pacifica. But my understanding is you know, the best assets to be able to use for something like this are going to be buildings or something like that.
What is the range, or what would you project would be if there are any points, and what's the interest rate?
The points are 1.5 points, so that's the loan cost is 1.5% of whatever the total loan is. And
so that so it's 1.5% plus 1.5%, so it's 3%.
No, it's just 1.5%.
Just 1.5%.
So that includes
costs of the loan. Okay, just want to make sure.
So that includes, you know, our costs, the loan costs, all the lender's legal fees and everything. So it's a 1.5% total cost for the loan. And then the term is up to 5 years, and there's no prepayment, you know, nothing like that. So if 2 months after getting the loan, you know, Pacifica, you know, had a source for paying off the loan, you know, if a donor walked in the door and said they were going to give you the money, then you could pay off the loan, and there's no prepayment penalties, and you know, so there's no penalty for paying the loan whenever you want to. And if you do a partial payment on the loan, then the interest rate adjusts to reflect whatever the outstanding balance is. So if in 6 months you had a way to pay off $1 million of the loan, then the interest cost is just adjusted to reflect the outstanding balance. And typically the interest rates are in the range of about 7 to 8%.
And what does that depend on?
You know, it's really going to be, I mean, it's a little bit hard to answer that question until we collect all the information and get it to the lenders. So, you know, I think it's just going to be based on their evaluation of you know, because it is an asset loan and not, you know, it's potentially a little bit higher risk because of the current financial picture for Pacifica. So it's their evaluation of what the risk is. But I think 8% is the highest interest rate loan that you know, we've done over the last 16 years or so.
Great. Okay.
But we've seen, we're not doing the loan, but the ones that we've seen.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Next person on the stack is Robert Mark.
Yeah.
Mr. Mark?
Earlier on, you mentioned something about creating a reserve fund for the purpose of making the initial payments. Is that what you call
yeah.
a reserve fund?
It's essentially a payment reserve fund. And again, I don't know that we can do it in this case. We have done it in some other cases. Where it's essentially borrowing money, again, because this is going to be an asset loan and, to really, I'd say that, the main consideration of Pacifica, has an amazing array of, obviously, sort of what you have as a national organization and what you do and the range of choices that you have in terms of how to solve some of these problems are very strong. So I think that, the key thing is how to get over the short-term hurdle and then, making sure that the lender feels comfortable
right.
with, okay, they can solve the other problems and make payments, while they solve the problem. So what we've done in one or two other cases is we were able to fund a reserve loan. So that loan is part of the overall loan, and that's used to make the payments for some fixed period of time on the loan.
And my question would be then, is that like a process where those funds are held in escrow? And is there an escrow agent involved in that?
There wouldn't be an escrow agent. I think it would just be held
by the lender.
And again, we'd have to work through the mechanics. We've never used an escrow agent for it, so I'm assuming it would be held by the lender in a joint account. But, one, we'd have to find out can that be done, and then two, just what the actual logistics are.
Okay, thank you very much. That's very interesting.
Sure.
That's a wrinkle we had not talked about before.
Thank you very much. The next person on the stack is Sabrina. Before Sabrina goes, is there anyone else who wants to be put on the stack? Okay, then, Sabrina, you have a question.
Benito.
Okay, Benito, I got you.
Yes, hello, Mr. Hand. Okay, so how does it differ between what you're talking about doing the bridge loan and whatnot, and the swap and whatnot? How does that differ from an LMA, a license management?
An LMA agreement is essentially, and that's really more the commercial media term, sort of in the non-commercial radio world. It's a public service operating agreement, so sort of the same thing, but the FCC has slightly different requirements for a public service operating agreement. So that would be where if Pacifica with one of the stations decided they essentially wanted to enter into an agreement to have somebody else manage and operate one of their stations. They could do that, and they could do that under a public service operating agreement. I think that the main issue with that is the FCC, unlike an LMA with commercial stations where they can essentially pay a fee to do that, the FCC has said for non-commercial stations, you can only be reimbursed for your actual operating cost. So it would be harder for Pacifica to, generate excess income from that, basically, to solve some of the other problems. So they could cover their cost of, one particular station if you're doing a public service operating agreement, but that's not going to provide resources for Pacifica as a whole. So in terms of your range of options, that should certainly be considered, but I think probably some of the other options might be better that could really bring in a chunk of money to Pacifica rather than take away the operating ability for one station but not generate really any net income from it. I'm sorry, just in terms of, I think the other part of your question is, how does that compare to a swap? So a swap would be, you know, if Pacifica, you know, was able to identify another station in the same market that they could trade with, basically, and again, it would vary depending on whether you were doing it with one of the commercial licenses or one of the non-commercial licenses, but the idea would be that you would actually trade licenses, and with that, there'd be some consideration paid. So whoever was getting, you know, what should be a better Pacifica signal would then pay some fixed amount of money to Pacifica to trade the licenses. So you'd still have control of the traded license, and you'd have cash generated from that, but you'd be owning and operating just a different station.
I think that should do it. Well, actually, FCC, with the FCC, can you just go really quickly, how you're saying 2 years, it would take 2 years for the approval to go through the FCC, is that right?
You know, actually, the FCC piece would be just typically about 90 days. The 2 years was really just, you know, from start to beginning, from negotiations to, you know, reaching agreement to everything, then and going through the Pacifica membership approval process, and then the FCC approval at the end. The one, I'm glad you raised that again, because the one qualifier there would be, and because I have seen some that have sat there for 2 years, if you went through that whole process and filed for an assignment of the license with the FCC, and if there were petitions filed to deny the assignment, sometimes I could hold it up for, again, the longest I've seen is if one was held up for 2 years. So something unknown like that could happen in the last step of the process with the FCC approval that could hold it up for an extended period of time.
Okay.
Thank you. Next person on the stack is Benito Diaz.
All right. So, I have two questions Mr. Han. Number one, I know you touched on it very briefly earlier, but I'd like you to expand on what is your motivation, or maybe better stated, the mission statement or goal, mission of your company in terms of the service that you provide to the community. Why do you do what you do, you know, as opposed to making $1 million more, or who knows what. So that would be one. And then the other thing is, if I remember correctly when we spoke a week or so ago, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but did I understand you to say that in addition to this bridge loan or any bridge loan, that you might be able to assist us with a more longer-term loan at, I don't know, whatever point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're good. Yeah, those are good questions. And on the mission focus, when we first started it, and this really was triggered, you know, by two things back in 1996, which is when we really first started looking at the idea of developing what at that time was called Public Radio Capital, and ultimately is transitioned into Public Media Company. And the primary purpose was driven by two things. One, you know, that's in 1996 was when the rules changed for station ownership, and there was a tremendous consolidation on the commercial side in radio stations. So, you know, one was sort of looking at the implications and repercussions of significant consolidation of radio station ownership under a handful of owners, and so the consolidation of media. And then two was the concern that the majority of you know, public radio stations in the country were owned by colleges and universities. And in 1996, the University of the District of Columbia decided to sell their station. It was a jazz station in Washington, D.C., and put it on the market. And at that time, you know, really nobody in the public broadcasting system knew how to prepare a bid and, you know, how to evaluate costs and how to put together capital for it. And, you know, it was obviously a very important station and asset for the community and for broadcasting, for public broadcasting. And it was sold first to a religious broadcaster, and ultimately they then turned around and sold the contract to C-SPAN, and it was sold for $13 million. So I think that triggered a lot of conversation for, you know, understanding that really a lot of the stations, you know, that serve community interests ultimately could be at risk. And the buyers for those stations at that time were principally religious buyers. So we first started almost following the model of the Trust for Public Land. So our mission is that these are important community resources, and that we need to do all that we can, you know, that involves financing and working on all those kind of things, all that we can to preserve these assets for public use. And so that's really our mission. So that's why this fits with our mission, because obviously, you know, we feel like the Pacifica stations and what Pacifica does is an important part of the, you know, the media landscape and what you contribute to your communities. And so finding ways to preserve those and make sure that you continue doing what you're doing is an important part of our overall mission and what we do.
Jonathan,
I remember that history.
Jonathan,
this
is Rocky.
Mr. Diaz, I believe we are at time for this for this segment and for the meeting. But Mr. Hand, we did desire for you to come into the closed session. I'm not sure how long you can stay with us.
Sure. Oh yeah. I can definitely stay. And just a quick answer to, you know, the second question is, you know, we've worked on a lot of other forms of financing. For example, tax-exempt bond financing is a very great source of financing for nonprofits. It's typically the financing tool that's used by colleges and universities, and actually by, you know, state and local governments for financing most of their capital projects. So we've done that kind of financing for stations around the country. It's a much more conservative form of financing. So, you know, if over a few years, you know, we can move Pacifica to a place where it's in much better financial shape, then that certainly could be a longer-term resource for financing. And, you know, a second option might be, again, not knowing sort of the assets that are owned and everything else, but, you know, certainly more traditional mortgages or, you know, we've worked some with co-op banks and those kind of things nationally that have more specialized lending with nonprofits. So there may be other forms of financing, you know, once the picture changes for Pacific, that it could be viable.
Jonathan, this is Aki.
Hey. Yes, Aki.
Thank you.
I think we should close the open and go to closed sessions. You can tell, you know, Fred that he can stop the stream.
Precisely. And I'm going to tell everyone, do not hang up the phone. We're not going to disconnect. We're just going to come off the stream, and I'll let Aki take roll again because some more folks have joined the call. So, streamer, Fred,
point of order, Chair. Do we have to adjourn the open session and then call the closed session?
I stand corrected. Thank you. Do I hear a motion to adjourn? Ms. Jordan?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay. Are there any objections to adjourning and going to closed session right now?
I would like to not adjourn, but to pause the meeting so that we can go back into open session afterwards.
Right.
That's possible.
That will require a vote. Do I hear a second to that? I don't hear a second.
Okay,
so we'll hear no second to that.
A continuing meeting,
to allow this meeting to temporarily adjourn and allow it to continue.
Could we have a debate, please? No, we're at time for this meeting. This meeting is actually over, and I did hear a motion to adjourn, and it was seconded. And so we have to go to the immediate. If we don't adjourn, then we can do that. Also, in the closed session, we would be able to vote on that same motion, unless I'm mistaken.
I just don't want to have to re-notice the meeting.
Pardon me?
Well, I think you have to notice open session.
That's why I want to, instead of adjourning, continue the meeting.
But there was no second.
I second it, and I want debate because I want to know what purpose.
Okay, is that Nancy?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, I can't. It's hard to hear. Who's second?
I'm
sorry, there's too much crosstalk there. We already had the motion to adjourn. The only way that we can go back and revisit that, but again, it could be voted on later. But we have to not adjourn, then vote on it, and then adjourn.
Okay, I'm making a motion to amend the motion to adjourn to make it continue the meeting.
Well, I'm pretty sure a motion to adjourn is non-amendable. It's one of my favorite motions. Let me take a look at it here in the back of the book. As I recall, a motion to adjourn, here it is, must be seconded. It's not debatable, and it is not amendable, and requires a majority to pass. But again, if it doesn't pass when we go to the vote, then we would just go back to vote. Directing the dual workforce cleverly. So, Mr. Secretary, go to a vote on adjournment.
Okay. All right, Grace Allen?
Pass.
Okay. Jim Brown? Okay. Adriana Kasanev? Okay. Bill Closure?
Pass.
Catherine Davis?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Benita Diaz?
Yes.
Diaz is yes. Juan Magano? Okay, give it to you. Jan Goodman?
No.
Goodman is no. Sabrina Jacobs?
Yes.
Jacob is yes. Ken Rolfo?
Yes.
Both is yes. Robert Mark?
No.
Mark is no. Serene Roberts?
This is on abstaining. I'm sorry, this is on adjourning.
Yes, yeah.
I pass.
Okay, you pass. Mansour Sabat?
No.
So, okay. T.M. Skirks? He's not here. Nancy Sullivan? Okay. Alex Steinberg?
Yes, for Nancy. Sorry.
Yes, for Nancy. Okay. Alex Steinberg? Okay. Okay, I'll get back to you. Okay. Temba Shibanga? Kemba?
Yes.
Kemba is yes. Okay. Andrea Turner? This is the gentleman?
Yep.
Okay. Andrea is yes. Mosquito? Washington?
Yes.
Mosquito is yes. Okay. So, Grace Allen, back to you. You pass?
Yes.
Okay. Allen is yes. And Jim Brown?
Yes.
Jim Brown is yes. Okay. Still closure?
Abstain.
Okay, you're staying. All right. Adriana Kasanev?
Yes.
Adriana is yes. Okay. Ron Magano?
Yes.
Mom is yes. All right. And Serene Roberts, you passed?
I abstain.
Okay, you abstain. All right, Alex Steinberg, you passed?
I will abstain.
Okay, you abstain. And Tanaka abstains. We have...
I'm sorry, before you announce the count, I have a point of order with regard to Mr. Sabah voting.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not done breaking the
Sorry?
I said he's also not done taking the votes yet.
Well, okay, Jonathan Alexander?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought he was about to
I've been talking about myself. But yes,
Okay, all right. That's good. All right. Thank you.
I vote yes.
All right.
But it appears that Dave Beaton is also on the call now.
No, he's not. I've sharing the three with the NSC member, so... Okay,
no problem.
All right.
And Ms.
Before the vote is announced?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, so the camera, do you see...
Hang on, Ms. Roberts has
Actually, hold on a minute.
Sure.
I don't even know if it's in order for him to, for you to do it before the tally, but either way, he's done it now. He's going to have to repeat anyway.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Roberts, could you state your objection or...
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Mark, I'm entertaining a point of order from Ms. Roberts, then I'll go to your point of order.
And that's my point of order. This is a motion to adjourn. You've already ruled it's not debatable, it's not amendable. We announce the vote. If the meeting's adjourned, it's adjourned. She does not have the right to raise a point of order about composition of the membership during the vote on a motion to adjourn.
And as it will not change the outcome of the vote, Mr. Mark, your point is well taken. Ms. Roberts, I'm sorry, we were in the middle of a vote.
Point of order after recognizing me for mine. Okay.
But I recognize you. If you wish to make a notation in the minutes about the makeup of this board, but again, it doesn't change the outcome of this vote at all. I believe we are adjourned, and it's time for us to go to the
vote.
I
am requesting a call.
The vote.
The vote be recorded for that, please. Thanks.
I'm sorry, you're requesting a...
You state the count.
I'm asking that the secretary not just put the numbers in there, but actually put the names so that we can all determine whether or not what I believe to be Mr. Sabah's improper vote did in fact make a difference.
Sure, no problem.
Thanks, Saki.
Mr. Secretary, you got that?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. All right, this meeting is adjourned, and everyone stay on the line until we get this beam off, and then we will take roll for the closed session.
Can I hear you?
I'm sorry, I can't understand.
Can I hear you?
Thank you, Fred.
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand.
I'm trying to get the count on the last vote.
I would like that as well. I did not hear the count. Mr. Secretary, could you repeat the count, please?
13 yes, 3 no, and 4 abstention, 20 votes.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Blair, are you still streaming?
Yes, but
I'm
going to
go ahead and...
Yeah, we can cut the stream, so thank you.